sure he is over here, but are we always his members? Actively. What does this mean? It means that every act of virtue that makes us more like the Savior, everything we perform in imitation of Him, everything we do to be conformed to Jesus, makes our liturgy of the hours more pleasing to God and more beneficial to souls. Why? Because Christ is surely our head, but we must become more and more truly His members. By the mortification of our self-love, we are vivified with His Spirit. And in the degree that we die to ourselves, we enable. Now this is our faith. We enable Christ to act as our head, because then we are not interfering with the flow of His grace through us, His members. Our fifth question on the first level: how do we say the divine office for all of mankind? Notice what this means. It means that the office is a societal prayer of worship, not only because de facto we are members of the human race. In that sense, whatever we do would be societal, because we cannot step out of the human race. That's a very safe statement. It also means, and with emphasis, that the liturgy of the hours is societal, in that the prayer should be for the whole human family. Again, we may object that whatever we say is beneficial to other people. So why talk about other people as beneficiaries of our recitation of the liturgy of the hours? Well, there is good reason, because the Church wants us to be aware of the fact that the liturgy hour of the hours has a very distinctive finality. It is meant for the whole human race. There is, on our side, such a thing as having intentions in prayer, of offering, as we correctly say, our acts of worship and sacrifice for definite purposes, for specific needs, in a word, for ends that we have in mind when we pray. This is not make-believe. In a mysterious way that we cannot really explain, God honors our motives when we pray. What should all of this mean in our estimate of the divine office as beneficial to the world of the human family? It should mean that we are to be as aware as we can of this universal purpose when we pray this liturgy. we should actualize our intentions every day, and if possible, for every distinct hour of the liturgy of the hours. It is a wholesome custom to have certain intentions, both our own and those of the community, for which we overtly and expressly say the divine office or any hourly part of it. As far as possible, they should be large intentions, with a stress on the adjective large. Worldwide in scope, and affecting not just our own little preferences or needs. This is the church praying, and we should join in that cosmic spirit. We should then be concerned about the grave, universal trials and sufferings of a suffering mankind. We ought to offer the divine office for the church's hierarchy, that the bishops may be courageous in proclaiming the word of God. For the church's priests, that they may live what they profess to be, co-authors of themselves with Christ, and co-victims with Him, the great high priest. For the church's religious, that they may give witness of holiness and of eternal values to a world that is so much immersed in pleasure and so often oblivious of God. For the church's mothers and fathers, that they may have the wisdom and strength to first bear and rear the children God gives them, rear them in His love, in spite of the terrible pressures against the Christian family in the world today. At one shofar, at one mother house at which I spoke recently, on the way from the airport to the mother house, told me that, "Father, my wife and I had 8 children. 7 have lost the faith." And the only reason why I think the 8th is still in the church, she's still too young to lose it. How myopic, how little, how narrow-minded we can be when we pray. Is it any wonder that the merest trifles can disturb our peace of soul and cause us even to forget God? With a massive tragedy in millions of hearts throughout the world. This is the outlook we should cultivate when we recite the office and be sure that our intentions correspond to the outlook. What we must then arouse ourselves to realize is that when we pray the liturgy, hear the liturgy of the hours, we cannot take for granted that God knows the needs of the human race Of course he does. So we should not bother. Oh no. He wants us to be conscious of these needs and offer our humble worship of intercession to his mercy to meet these universal wants of mankind. I know I am not exaggerating when I say this, that a lot of religious are so preoccupied with themselves. Only they know their own problems. That's what most of their prayer is all about. But in heaven's name on earth, partly maybe because in the nature of things, religious should not be as involved in the world as are the laity. But involvement in the world is not the same as being concerned about the world. It is this concern for the whole human family that should characterize the spirit in which we universalize the purpose for which we offer the divine office. The priestly worship of God. That's our second focus of reflection on the divine office, namely its sacerdotal character. We have the church's word for the fact, based on faith. Then when we say the liturgy of the hours, we are engaging in a priestly function in union with Jesus Christ. What are we saying? We are affirming two things. First, that Christ is exercising his priestly office through us, members of the mystical body. This takes place because God has so willed it, and we are happy to be thus privileged to belong to the royal priesthood of Jesus Christ. Second, assuming that Christ has incorporated us in his priestly office, he expects us to behave accordingly. In virtue of our baptism, we are enabled to share in this priestly service in a way that approximates and joins in what the ordained human priest does at the altar when he offers Mass. That's why in the Mass, now we all know, though we were told it before because of the vernacular, that we are, in a true sense, celebrating Mass in union with the priest of the altar, because we are baptized into the priestly office of Christ. We are then to behave like what we are, priestly, after the pattern of Jesus, by offering with him to the Heavenly Father what Revelation calls the clean oblation of a dedicated heart. After all, what is priestliness if it is not self-surrender to the will of God? That's my definition of the priesthood. Accordingly, our saying of the divine office will also be the offering of the divine office. Provided we yield our wills to the loving but ever so demanding will of God. Faith exhausts the vocabulary of belief in describing what this priestliness means. It means resignation to the will of God. What He asks of us, we resign ourselves to fulfill, no matter what the cost. It means abandonment to the providence of God. Trusting blindly, that's the adverb, blindly. In His care for us, we do not ask why. We let ourselves be led in the dark by the sure hand of God. It means conforming to the mind of God. Often we do not understand the reasons that God has. No wonder His thoughts are not our thoughts. No matter. I do not see, but I believe, and I yield my judgment to the wisdom of God. To some, maybe it may seem rhetorical to be talking this way, but I trust for religious, we understand. All the theological learning in the world will not make our participation in the liturgy, whether of the Eucharist or of the hours, more effective, unless we come to the liturgy with priestly hearts, that is, with hearts that are humbly submissive to the heart of Jesus, which is the heart of God. But given this humble subordination to the will of God, we shall do good, more good for souls and be more effective in winning grace for those in need. With special emphasis on priests in need, than we could ever dream was possible. Then our liturgical prayer of the hours will be what its name signifies, a sacrifice of praise from the farthest east to the farthest west, where the name of the Lord is honored by us, who have consecrated ourselves to belong exclusively to Him. God is ready, I might almost say eager, to meet the desperate needs of mankind. But He wants us, His chosen souls, to live as we pray, to be what the words we sing proclaim, persons totally given to God, through whom then He can work the wonders of grace He intends, if only we let Him, through our unworthy selves. Thank you for listening.